You're listening to the Fantasy 40 Podcast with Andrew Burke, John DeBari, and Matt Walker. Yahoo!
Welcome back. We are back with another episode of the Fantasy 40 Podcast. Kind of the new thing we're starting this year is a little short recap of what we got right and wrong in the previous week. So this is going to be a small recap of our hits and misses from week two. You named last week's episode, It's a Bloodbath. And boy, oh boy, did it only get worse, which we'll get into, I guess, probably on the actual preview of week three. But looking at the hits and misses, you're kind of going to take the reins here and run the show because, damn, did you have a good week of predictions last week, Mr. Walker?
It's ironic you said that because we were talking before we went live and we didn't discuss the name of the show. And I never discuss the names that I put on the shows when I released them. But I was going to say the biggest hit of last week's episode was the name of the show. It's going to be a bloodbath. And that was for the 49ers against the Jets game. And not only was week two a bloodbath for fantasy purposes, that game was a bloodbath for 49ers purposes. So kudos to you for being so prophetic. But thanks for the kind words on the way in here. But yeah, so we're doing a quick hits and misses as we recap our week two preview to see where we went right, where we went wrong. And we don't have Burke on the show, but he did guest in with us on our week two preview. So he dropped a couple nuggets. We thought he was absolutely insane on the few that he did provide to us, and a few he was, but one he almost went yard on was saying that Kerryon Johnson, quote, he'll get you at least 11 PPR points. And he scores a touchdown early in the game. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And we're in a text group, a group text. And I was just like, come on. And he writes something silly back. Like, you guys just never believe me. I got, Gray's Almanac, yada, yada. Well, he didn't get to 11 points, so Burke was still wrong at the end of the day, but he did put up 9.2 PPR points, which was better than a lot of running backs did on Sunday. So I'm going to give Burke that one. No one would have said Kerryon Johnson was scoring a touchdown on Sunday, so we're going to give Burke a hit on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
He also was waxing about Deontay Johnson, and while I don't think that's going to come as a surprise to anyone, Deontay Johnson was peppered with targets in week one. He was peppered again in week two, 13 targets on the game, 8 for 92 and 1. You also spoke glowingly about your boy Deontay Johnson, and he is emerging as a superstar for those Pittsburgh Steelers in that offense. So kudos to Coach Burke 82 and you, John. You're a huge Deontay Johnson fan. So we're gonna give Burke a single on that one. You're a lifer on Deontay Johnson. So more ball in your court, but we're gonna give Burke up his batting average on that. A miss for Burke was he doubled down on that Lions Packers game and said that Jamal Williams was gonna score two touchdowns. Well, all the touchdowns went to Aaron Jones. So Jamal Williams wasn't allowed to eat any touchdowns on Sunday. He had zero. He was impressive on the 8 carries he did have, 63 yards, just shy of like 8 yards per carry. But he did not have a single target, did not score a single touchdown. So swing and a miss from Coach Burke there. So if we're evening out the scale, that was a bigger miss than his Kerryon Johnson hit. And then on his way out the door, I think it was what he deemed his start of the week or something, tried to be a wise ass. And he said Christian McCaffrey. Okay. He mushed Christian McCaffrey and got him injured. And then he pivoted to Henry Ruggs, who laid an absolute egg on Monday Night Football. So he went double whiff with the game on the line on his way out the door. Yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Coach Burke. Not really good on your first hit or miss episode. Not even here to defend yourself. So try better next time, buddy. We miss you. Anything to add on Coach Burke's hit or miss, buddy?
No. It was a dumpster fire. The fact that he relatively hit on Kerryon just made me forget of all of his epic misses because that's a pretty obscure one to hit on. But, yes, it was not kind to him.
Yeah, he did take chances. So we'll give him credit. No, there was no obviouses with his hits or misses. So, no risk it, no biscuit. So kudos to AB for taking some shots there. Now, John, you were speaking so glowingly about me and my calls from week two. Well, I jotted down a few of mine. I was pretty proud of myself, I got to be honest, for what I put on tape in our week two preview. But I want to hear from you. You listen to the tape. You tell me where I hit and then where I missed for some week two nuggets.
So I'll just start with one of our favorite guys every chance we could talk about, Aaron Jones. I believe you predicted 120 yards and a touchdown, and boy, he went 168 on the ground, another 68 in the air, and three scores. So that was he had a monster game. Some leagues have him in, you know, with all the weird bonuses and all the other shit going on. I think he was just under 60 points, like 50-something points, 54 in a couple spots. And in most standard leagues, I think he was in the mid-40s, which is a monster score. So he had just a monster game, and you predicted that one.
I got to say, that might have been a hit by pitch on that one, because I was way light on a get right game. If 120-1 is a get right game for Aaron Jones, I'm way underselling our boy Showtime. And he puts up what, 250-3 on the listless Detroit Lions. God damn, he is special. We are gonna have to talk more about Aaron Jones in the week three preview. I'm excited. He is fucking amazing.
Boy. The other one you hit, where am I here? You called another touchdown. You've been hammering the touchdowns. I'll just give you two guys back to back here. You predicted two for Leonard Fournette, who I believe got you two, and you called an Antonio Gibson touchdown. So you hammered both of those two, and they're not like chalky, especially after we saw from Fournette in week one, and Gibson didn't look that amazing in week one. He did get some touches, and it was good to see him out there. But, yep, pretty obscure guys, and you hit on both of them.
Yeah, we know how we feel about Ronald Jones. Anyone who listens to this podcast knows how we feel about Ronald Jones. I was also getting a little listless in the episode, and I wanted to fire back, and I felt like no better time than the present when we were talking about those Tampa Bay Bucks. And I just wasn't impressed. All of Twitter was impressed with what Ronald Jones did in week one against the Saints. I wasn't impressed. And not that I thought Leonard Fournette was, but I said, give me another week in this offense and give Leonard Fournette touches and he's going to impress. And then they were playing the Carolina Panthers. So why not take the shot? I started Fournette in a couple of spots, so I benefited from this prediction. And if Arians is who I think Arians is, this is Fournette's backfield. Changing of the guard. This wasn't an anomaly. Fournette is by far the better back, and he provides them a better chance to win. He just won that backfield by week two. I'm excited going forward. And the Antonio Gibson thing, just he's by far the best running back already in their backfield. So, and
going back to Fournette for a second, the important thing is Brady seems to really like him.
Goddamn right. They're already hanging out, you know. They're gifting each other up. Yeah, they're he's gonna get extended. Hey, we're gonna see second life for Leonard Fournette in Tampa Bay. You know, it's exciting to see. But yeah, I think that was I want to be bold comment. What better time to drop it on old Lenny? You know, it was exciting to see. The second touchdown ended up being a cover too, a backdoor cover for the Bucks as they let Carolina sneak back in the game. So it was good for bettors. It was good for my bold prediction. I was excited to see it, man. It was prophetic and enjoyable. And we get a Coach Burke drop in right after we laughed all about his bold predictions at the beginning of this episode. He comes in as we're just basking in the glow of my amazingness. So, Burke.
Yeah, I'm scouring the state of Washington right now, looking for my drawers because they definitely got dropped. Got taken behind the shed and whooped. So didn't do the best this week, but the one that I feel the worst about is the Ruggs one, man. Derek Carr missing about four times streaking down the field. So it was almost there.
Yeah, well, Carr didn't miss many other people in that game, especially Darren Waller, who is just uncoverable. That man, kudos to him for turning it around. But any other hits, John, that you want to talk about in mind? There was two others that I was pretty proud of myself on before we get into some of my misses that I did want to
show. I mean, you hit Mike Williams, said he'd be wide receiver one. I don't think he was one, but he did have a pretty
Man, you big always go Mike Williams, Mike Evans. We always bag them two together.
Two big piles of garbage. Yeah, it's the same guy. those are the big ones. Chenault, you thought Chenault would have a bigger game, hit 72 yards, didn't get in the end zone, but I actually, to stay in that game, I got that totally wrong. I thought Tennessee Jacksonville would be a shit show with no points, and they actually put up some decent points. Not that it was a massive fantasy day for really anybody, but kind of spread it around, and they had a lot more points than I thought. Other one that you hit on, I mean, we both were big on Green Bay. Obviously, Aaron Jones, I thought Green Bay, I believe I said, would be the highest scoring team of the week, and they provided some fantasy goodness, although Davante Adams, who I thought would have a big game, you know, got banged up, another guy on the injury list. So he, I think he only got three catches, something like that. So he was a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, it's hard for Davante Adams to do anything when Aaron Jones is literally doing everything for the Packers. A few of the other things that I hit on was, it's unfortunate, but it was in my Eagles game. I said, fade Malcolm Brown. The Malcolm Brown game happened in week one. Don't go back to that well. Pretty sure Burke said, no, it's Malcolm Brown time. Roll hard. Totally wrong. And I said Robert Woods was not the wide receiver to play. He did sneak like a short yardage touchdown, but he was covered up all game. I said they're throwing it in the red zone for all their touchdowns. Didn't call Higbee, but they threw it in the red zone for all their touchdowns. I pretty much called the Rams game plan for that game. Unfortunately, had to watch the Eagles get dismantled in that game. And then the other one was that I said, quote, this could be a David Montgomery 20-touch game. David Montgomery's stat line, 19 for 127 and one. Just that the Giants are a dumpster fire. And while we were, I think, shitting on David Montgomery in the midst of that diatribe, I said, if not now, when? This could be a David Montgomery 20-touch game. You probably have to roll him out there. And he did some. I mean, his damage was through the air, 3 for 45 and one. Did not see that coming. So hopefully you started David Montgomery in this one because it might be his best game of the season.
Did he get back banged up as well, though?
He did, but he came back. Forget why he left.
Everyone yeah. got hurt. The answer is yes.
I also said move on from Gronk after last week. Gronk got one target, zero catches, 0 points. I said there's guys on the waiver wire that you should be starting over Gronk. It's done, and you should have. I also said there's cause for concern with Todd Gurley. He had opportunity against the Cowboys. He looked bad, you know, in that game. He was useless. I also said the wedge Russell Gage into your lineup for this week. He was easily serviceable in that game. And you said the Antonio Gibson rushing touchdown. That was another one I'm pretty proud of. We love Antonio Gibson. I'm excited for his prospects in the future. You talked about misses. Yeah, I said Laviska Shenault was going to be a wide receiver too. Only 10.2 PPR points missed on that one. I also said there's nothing at tight end behind Blake Jarwin. I was wrong. I want to hear Burke talk about Dalton Schultz a little bit. Didn't see it coming at all, but maybe this was a product of literally the most epic comeback mode of all time, and I just, you know, maybe it's a one-time thing.
Schultz is not a complete bum. I believe I wrote something up on him years ago for DFF, and he's got upside. I think he's equally as talented as Jarwin. And I heard someone mention this on like the NFL radio station. They said, you know, if you're playing the Cowboys, who are you going to put your weakest defender on? It's not going to be Lamb, not going to be Gallup, not going to be Cooper, not going to be Zeke out of the backfield. Schultz is in the same position that everyone was excited about Jarwin for. And a big part of that is he's going to have the best matchup on the team every single week going forward. So, you know, and Dak seemed to trust him even in week one. So he's in a good spot to be a real sneaky value for the rest of the season. And my one super deep league, I paid like 25% of my fab already. It may have been more than that on him last week, and I got him. I didn't start him because I wanted to see how they use him first, so I'm a little sad now. But I'm super happy. I think he's got if you like Jarwin, he's as good as Jarwin and could even be better.
I wouldn't go that far. Jarwin, a tiny bit more athletic in my opinion, but I mean, you're not, the drop-off isn't gigantic or anything like that. The biggest thing to me, the takeaway, is how our offense can't throw the ball more than 15 yards down the field. And I think that's where it's really going to come into play with Schultz, because you got all these weapons at the wide receiver position, but yet they refuse to stretch the field. I mean, everything is underneath or in the middle of the field. So I'd expect more of the same.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Schultz led the team in targets at 10. Dak threw the ball 47 times. I don't think either of those things are in the cards for the Dallas Cowboys in optimal game script environments. So we might have just saw Schultz's best game, but it was still impressive nonetheless. Another thing was Logan Thomas. I said he was a must-start tight end. He got 9 targets, but he didn't do shit with it. 4 for 26. It's unfortunate. He was second on the team in targets, but they just couldn't get him going against Arizona. And then I did guarantee a Hollywood Brown TD, and that Ravens offense just really didn't need to do much. I mean, they scored a defensive touchdown, controlled the game almost throughout. Houston Texans didn't really keep it competitive. They didn't really do much. Lamar Jackson didn't have a big day. Mark Andrews didn't have a big day. Hollywood Brown didn't have a big day. No one did. I mean, Mark Ingram broke a touchdown late in the game. There was really no offensive significance to be had from those Ravens, and they still won comfortably. So it was unfortunate to see that in that game. But brighter days are
checking ahead. I wasn't watching while that game was on, and I kept looking back and checking the box score on my phone, and I was like, how are they winning? There's nothing happening for fantasy. I didn't really – it was a weird game for Baltimore.
Yeah, 33-16 win, won comfortably, doubled them up, and Hollywood Brown was the leading receiver with 5 for 42. Their leading rusher was Gus Edwards with 10 for 73, and Lamar Jackson threw for 204 yards. Do you think 33 points, they win by 17 – And those are the leaders at each position. I mean, that's not what you expect, but that was the outcome. A few other things I want to touch on is, you know, kudos to the Chargers for getting our boy Justin Herbert in there.
Yeah.
Now, it was said that it was, you know, Tyrod had to get a shot, and then he had a reaction right before the game. It was unexpected. Anthony Lynn has come out effusively saying Tyrod is the starter on this team, and they're going back to him. I think that is an absolutely terrible decision, especially with the way they're played. Decision. You're just like cutting the legs out from under this kid. That's a confidence killer, in my opinion. Tyrod's not the future of this franchise. You just roll with it. I mean, I don't think there's really a choice here, in my opinion. But I thought the Chiefs were just going to destroy them, and Herbert kept them. He was impressive, and then that Gus Bradley defense. Really limited that Chiefs offense. It was impressive, but at the end of the day, Patty Mahomes, still Patty Mahomes, just by hook or by crook, gets it done. Andy Reid still trusting his kicker, Bucker, from 58 after a false start to hammer it home after Lynn doesn't have the balls to go for it on 4th and 1 in overtime. That's the difference. That's the difference. Lynn doesn't think he can pick up a yard. Reed says, my kicker's got it from 60 in overtime. Man, people are just built differently, man.
Yeah, the Herbert thing is, I saw a stat on Twitter this morning. He went for over 300. Tyrod's only got one 300 game in his career or something like that, last 50-something starts. So I just don't think Lynn could come out right after the game and say, Herbert's our guy. I mean, we might hear something more this week.
Yes, he can. It's inexcusable.
He doesn't have to come out right afterwards and say Herbert's not our guy, because that's what he did.
I mean, very true.
No comment. We're evaluating. We'll see. Blah, blah. He threw the water on the fire. Like, he said, no, we ain't camping anymore. Time to go home. Pissed all over the fire. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, they can do better. They took him early enough. Like, what's the fucking mystery? Like, He's playing eventually, so what are they going to do, bench him for week 2 and then bring him back in week 4? It's just stupid.
Well, exactly.
Words, stupid.
Yeah, he's 100% playing this year now. There was probably a scenario where if the Chargers were white hot, this could be a Tyrod season and Herbert redshirts, but that ain't happening now. You know, the cat's out of the bag. Fans saw it. The team saw it. He's playing this year, so just go. I mean, just roll with it. I don't know. Probably why I'm not a head coach, but I digress. He also makes the offensive skill position players better. Eckler life breathed back into them. Both running backs catching balls out of the backfield, gaining chunk yards. Keenan Allen back to life. Hunter Henry had a day. Like, Tyrod Taylor doesn't make those players better. He doesn't.
And Herbert knocked out a linebacker trying to hit him.
He's got that going. Did he? Too. He's a big boy. All right, so we're going to get off me. We're going to move on to John. John had a couple on his own. Hit the first one. And I just because I like speaking about this guy any chance I get, and I felt like it was rough for John to say it. But, quote, "I like your boy Jerick McKinnon," came out of John's mouth last week. And while he didn't get a lot of touches, Jerick McKinnon looks absolutely electric. And he broke, what was it, like 3rd and 31 or something like that? He converts like 3rd and 31 against the Jets on Murder Life Stadium. Whatever it was. Yeah, you know, he ran for like 40-some on a 3rd and 30-something. Like, whatever the play was, he Jerick McKinnoned it. And he's awesome. Yeah. And he's going to see a lot more touches this week because Raheem Mostert has a sprained MCL, I believe. He ain't playing.
And Coleman.
Devin Coleman out, I think, knee. McKinnon and Jeff Wilson are splitting his backfield with what sounds like Nick Mullins under center because Jimmy G sprained his ankle as well, going back to MetLife Stadium again to play the Giants this week. Jerick McKinnon, we're going to be running it back. You're going to have to say, "I like your boy Jerick McKinnon" again in this week 3 preview episode that we're going to be recording in a few minutes. But kudos to you for liking Jerick McKinnon in week 2.
I took, it's funny. I was listening to the NFL radio and fantasy radio this morning. And yeah, there's get out there and get Jerick McKinnon off waivers. In all my redraft leagues, I grabbed him at the end of the draft late. I believe I have him in Scott Fishbowl. I mean, it's a big part of you pushing him all the time, but you also just read the tea leaves. They could have cut him 2 years ago. They could have cut him last year. All that money was front loaded. They kept him because they want to use him. Shanahan likes him. Certain guys, if you just see the way the teams use them, especially after some adversity comes through or there's no reason for them to keep them, that they want to get them involved. So everything tells you that they like McKinnon, and now he's got nothing but opportunity in front of him, and I should be a fantasy goal mine till these other guys get back from the injured reserve.
Yeah, I mean, and they're going to slow play these guys. These sprains and strains of running backs got to be multi-week injuries. So we're going to see. Mm-hmm. He's going to share the backfield, so it's going to mean 8 to 12 touches probably for him for the next 2 to 4 weeks, conservatively speaking. Your next prediction was Josh Allen was going to be QB1 overall. And just updating FFPC scoring. He was number 3. I mean, shit, above Russell Wilson with 5 touchdowns? Okay, good for you. Cam Newton with those rushing touchdowns and Dak weighing those rushing touchdowns a little heavily, which Josh Allen did nothing on the ground, 4 for 18, through the air, 4-17-4. Josh Allen says, "I'll raise my first 300-yard passing game in week 1 of this year with a 400-yard passing game after a lengthy thunderstorm, lightning delay in week 2. And then he just was raining down thunder on the secondary when they came out of that delay. Man, he just add Stephon Diggs, create magic. Good call. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's funny is going in all these redrafts 2 weeks ago, grabbing Stephon Diggs, I mean, where his ADP was, it's crazy, just because everyone's Josh Allen can't throw the deep ball, but it looks like the tides are turning there in Buffalo, man.
Agreed.
Well, he's got the cannon, just doesn't know where it's gonna land.
Yeah, but he also has the guys that can go get it. John Brown and Stephon Diggs are perfect matches for what he does.
I just came up with a nickname for him. He should be called the Trebuchet. Just fucking firing shit down there, and wherever it lands.
All right. Can't spell it. You heard it here first, folks. Josh Allen, the Trebuchet. Way better when you said it. Next, I referenced the Ravens game earlier, and you said, quote, it's hard to trust anyone in this offense outside of Lamar Jackson. They spread it around. I said earlier, there was no fantasy viable player in this entire offense, and they won 33-16. Nail on the head, John. Kudos to you. And that's not every week. I mean, shit, J.K. Dobbins had 2 touchdowns a week earlier. Mark Andrews had 2 receiving touchdowns a week earlier. It's pretty bold to call no one to trust in that offense, especially when they're playing against a terrible Texans defense.
And the scary thing is, you had mentioned Dobbins, 2 carries this week. He comes off week 1, and we're all like, shit, he's going to break out right out of the gate. And then week 2, they don't even use him. The snap count, I don't have it in front of me. But, yeah, he went something from like 30 or 40% in week 1 to 15 this week. So maybe it's game plan dependent with how they're going to use him or bring him along. But, you know, Ingram had a decent enough day, gotten a little bit involved in the passing game, had, you know, scored 1 on the ground. But this is pretty concerning after what we saw in week 1. I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, real football, they're more than fine.
Do you know when he got those carries too?
Oh, was it garbage time? I didn't see it.
4th quarter. Ugh. And one of them was like a 40-yard run.
Yeah, like, 44.
Yeah, in useless time. So it was not fun to see. I started Dobbins in a spot where
so did I
taking on a lot of water at the running back position and wasn't expecting the world from him, but sure as shit wasn't expecting him to be a bystander watching the game like I was for the better part of 3 quarters, only to get in there at the end for some meaningless carries. So kudos to you there. In the Patriots Seahawks game, which Russell Wilson, current front runner for NFL MVP, vying with Kyler Murray. Interesting, exciting to watch those Seahawks play. But you said it's Cam Newton or bust for those Patriots. And while Julian Edelman was amazing, you're right. I mean, the whole offense is Cam Newton. All those goal line packages are these option routes. They don't even put a running back in anymore. Yeah. Sony Michel doesn't exist. It doesn't matter. It's a fullback and another tight end. It's all Cam. He's the goal line guy. He's going to option it out. He's going to drop it off. He's like, there's no goal to goes. There's no short yardage for running backs. Get rid of all your Patriot running backs. it's
you should have had one.
Yeah,
you should
have had one. And that's it. But you said it. It begins and ends with Cam.
Well, there's a lot of rumblings of people saying go grab Bird. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know. He's a horrible team in snaps, and I don't believe he got a single target in week 1. 2, then he comes out, gets 9 targets. I mean, again, you're not going to be able to trust him week in and week out. He's, you know, a nice dart throw at the end of your bench, a flex play when the bye week's hit, and if these injuries keep piling up, you could do a lot worse, but you're never going to start him with any confidence. I mean, 2-week sample size, which means nothing. We have 0 targets and then 9 targets, so good luck.
Yeah, Bird was doing all the field stretch and stuff. I think Bird literally played 100% of snaps week 1, but Cam only threw it 19 times, none to Bird. You're right. But he was looking his way, certainly, as they were in comeback mode pretty much the entire game against the Seahawks, but not with any regularity. I mean, I'm not trusting Damir Bird with my fantasy, fantasy hopes and dreams. But still, great call for you on the camera bus. Couple misses on yours, and then we're going to get out of here, and we're going to jump into the week 3. You said Darius Slayton was a safe play. Darius Slayton is never a safe play. I'm sorry. I'm you bring up all my guys that I like that are so volatile or haven't been realized yet. Darius Slayton is not, quote-unquote, a safe play. Sorry. Scotty Miller, before we went live, you said it was a miss on yours. Somehow you played both sides of the Scotty Miller coin on the Tampa Bay segment. You said he was startable, and then you also said don't start him.
I missed that because I loved him. I thought Scotty Miller was PPR gold, but he was not.
You said, quote, play all your Falcons. And you also said, I like Gurley. 6.1 PPR points. I told you, Gurley was concerning. Julio Jones also laid an absolute egg in a blowout. I get why he said start all your Falcons, but 2 of them sucked. They were both in one of my fantasy lineups where I eked out a win. You did say Dobbins was in play on those Ravens, even though you said they weren't trustworthy and he didn't even play in the game. And you said Greg Olsen was going to get into the end zone again. And Greg Olsen didn't get into the end zone again. He was absolutely dreadful in that game.
Yeah.
You have any more that I missed on?
No, I think that was it. I said, going back to Thursday, I said Cleveland wasn't going to score a touchdown, and they scored quite a few on Thursday night. No, I had a prediction-wise, I had an abysmal week, which is odd because for fantasy, my start sits were actually decent. I had some good scores across most of my leagues, so the application in real life didn't necessarily come from my podcast pontificating, but yeah, when I listened back to it, I was dog shit.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know if you realize it, but I'd scrubbed the Thursday night predictions from, since it didn't even get released till Friday, and they were truly disgraceful. Not only did you say that the Cleveland Browns were going to score 8 points, I said that Joe Mixon was going to go off. So
25-2.
Yeah. we were swinging hard on that one, but since it was thoroughly irrelevant, I decided just remove that from the history books, and we went long on that episode anyway. So we moved on. Hits or misses from week two. There were some big ones. We're going to keep doing this every week, just staying in your consciousness, keep letting you know how good we are at this stuff. There were some epic hits, some big ones in week two. We're going to turn loose after this one. We're going to move forward, get into week three. John, take us out of here.
Yep. Be sure to check us out on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Interact. We'll start shooting out some questions Sundays, hoping to get some questions from listeners. But for myself, John DeBari, Andrew Burke, and Matt Walker, we are the Fantasy 40. Hope you enjoyed the hits and misses. We're out.
Ow! I love how you sneakily hit that record button when you thought this was going down a family path.
No, I just...
I appreciate it.
You're like, hit record. What was that old NBA morning show with like Ahmad Rashad and that Summer Sanders chick?
Oh, goodness.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Inside Jam or in
what, the NBA Jam? Or that's
NBA video. Jam?
No, that's the
I know
game.
You know that.
But that game, dude, I would fucking wake up and watch that thing every morning. Mm-hmm. I loved basketball. Loved it. The same thing. I used to play.
My favorite player of all time, and it's because I hated Michael Jordan. And I still do to this day with a white hot fashion.
I never liked him, even being in Chicago.
Such a huge Dominique Wilkins fan. Like, I wanted to be Dominic Wilkins growing up. Yeah, huge basketball. Yeah, I would play every single day. That was
so did I.
After
same thing, especially in the summer.
Yeah, until it was bedtime.
I'd wake up, I'd eat. My mom would let me go. I'd walk down like 3 blocks to the park, and I would literally play basketball until the sun went down.
Yeah, because it's something you could do, and there's always pickup games. It was just rolling all day long. Yeah, I just – oh gosh, yeah. I used to love it. I just don't like why. It's just not. Sorry, what basketball is now. It's just. I mean, it's just like hyper athletes, giant human beings. It's just. It's not the basketball I played. So.
But I don't like how. I don't like the personalities. You know what I mean? Like when the. Obviously, living in Chicago, it was fucking great because the Bulls were good. But, dude, watching the Bulls play the Knicks in every game, you're like, there's a good chance I'm going to see Michael Jordan punch someone in the face or get punched. Like they were fighting this fucking shit. Now all these jerk offs are hugging and
their best friend
jerseys.
They're talking about like how they're going to team up like 3 years from now. Like, they're all strategic alliances. You know, these are business partnerships. Like these dudes are forming like as they grow for it's, you know, you don't want to burn any bridges. Cause who knows where you're going to end up a few years from now and how you're going to have to like coax Paul George to follow you to the Clippers to try and
not a fan.
You know, battle for LA against LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And so is Berg not nothing for Berg?
Probably not.
No.
All right.
We're in 20 minutes after. So,
we'll intro this. This will probably be quick. And then we'll jump out and start the other one.
All right. I did everyone's, for lack of a better word, I think. So if you just wanted to go, it's kind of like you did. So if you just wanted me to run like hits and misses.
Sure. Yeah, I got my list. There's nothing. I mean, I'll just chime in. Like I said, you fucking batted 900. So you can run with it.
I had my fair share of misses, though.
You got, I mean, you do, but you got big hits. Well, we'll talk. Okay. Ready?